Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Now, Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, that means restoring the true teachings of Jesus Christ. That means any traditions of men that have been added to Christianity, we are to forsake. We are to put away. All the traditions and teachings of modern Christianity, which are contrary to the Word of God, we need to all repent of. We need to get back to Christ. You hear him say all the time, let's put Christ into Christmas, or let's put Christ into Sunday. Well, the truth is, he was never there. The truth is that if you are going to repent and if you are going to love God, then you acknowledge that God's way is the only way. You acknowledge your sins. You confess them before God. Now, let's see how that works. As I mentioned, you don't need to go confess your sins to the priest. That is a control mechanism of the traditions of men over the minds and hearts of people to keep them locked in to Satan's system. See, Satan has his counterfeits. He has his, quote, Christian churches. After all, he's the great counterfeiter. After all, he is the great deceiver. After all, he is the God of this world. And it says in Revelation 13 that all the world worshiped Satan. Now we see that coming more and more and more. Everyone who truly believes in God is going to come under more and more condemnation and fire from the world. Because we believe God, we love God, we keep his commandments. Now let's see what the Apostle John wrote. See, because you need to come to the point of repentance. And that point of repentance is repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that's the process. God has to draw, you have to respond. God responds to you, God begins teaching you, God begins convicting you of your sins, so that he leads you to repentance. And not only the sins that are out there that you know of, which are terrible and you understand them, but also the secret sins within, because God wants to convert you. And God wants you to be in fellowship with him. That's why the whole world, though they mean well, when someone first believes in Jesus, they got to get them into a church. Well, that's really not true. That's why we have church at home. It first begins at home, between you and God the Father and Jesus Christ. And God's Spirit will be there to lead you, to come to understand the Word of God. And he will lift the burden. He will lift the sin. He will remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Now, that doesn't mean, as we'll cover a little later, the Protestants believe that once you have been saved, you have been saved forever, and you cannot sin. Well, that's really not true. Now, think about this. The Apostle John was the longest-lived apostle and was overseeing the final canonization of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the seven general epistles, come right after the book of Acts, then the epistles of Paul, and then the book of Revelation. Now, John understood that as we are growing and overcoming, since we're still human, we have not been yet changed from flesh to spirit just because we're converted. And we must continuously be overcoming sin and self and Satan. So this is why repentance is something that takes place in a true Christian's life all the time, because we are being perfected, and we'll see that. That's why where we began with the finished work of Christ, what is normally understood as the finished work by the Protestants is the first step. And we'll talk about baptism here in a little bit, because baptism becomes important. Matter of fact, baptism is the dividing line between professing Christians and real Christians, between those who understand some of the Word of God and those who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The dividing line is very sharp. But the Apostle John understood that as long as we're in the flesh, we're not perfect. Hopefully, we're all on the way to perfection. But perfection is not sealed until the resurrection. So this is what he wrote to the Christians in his day. Now, he wrote this probably sometime in the late 80s, early 90s AD. After all the leading apostles had died, after Jerusalem had been destroyed, after there were countless false Christ and false teachers out there, he wanted us to know what we should do. 1 John 1 and verse 4. These things we are also writing to you so that your joy may be completely full. And this is the message that we have heard from him and are declaring to you, that God is light and there is no darkness at all in him. So the message of Christ, where Christ started out, as we find in the book of Mark, where he said, repent and believe the gospel. And that is the message that he was bringing, as we saw. The words are the word of Christ, you see. Now, here's something that's very important that John is writing about, so that we understand that every day we need repentance. Every day we need to overcome. Every day, as having the Spirit of God, we are granted entrance into the Holy of Holies. And our prayers come right before God the Father and Jesus Christ, who is our High Priest. And here's what we need to realize. If we proclaim that we have fellowship with him, but we are walking in darkness, and darkness is the way of this world, you see, we are lying to ourselves and are not practicing the truth. Now, practicing the truth means this. The Word of God is truth. The commandments are truth. The laws of God are truth. The statutes of God are truth. And God's Word is true from the beginning. Now, we must be practicing and living by the truth. Now, here's a blessing that comes. Verse 7. However, if we walk in the light as he, that is Jesus, is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now this means each and every sin. You can never have forgiveness for future sin because the future has not come. And you don't know what you're going to do in the future, whether you will sin or not sin. So forgiveness is only for sins that are past. And in the instant of time, if you catch yourself sinning or know that you have sinned, it becomes a past sin. So God forgives all sins that are repented of, and all sin becomes past sin. Now, you may need to think on that for a while. You can't, like religions give out, that you can buy indulgences. If you make a pilgrimage to Rome, you can buy an indulgence by giving an offering. And this indulgence is a pre-forgiveness of future sins not yet committed. That's an impossibility. You can only be forgiven through Jesus Christ. It can only be past sins. Now notice, if we say, verse 8, we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our own sins, now notice, we, John is including himself in it. He's not saying, you, I'm righteous, you are sinners. No. Was he an apostle? Yes. Had he served Jesus Christ and God the Father for decades and decades? Yes. Probably pretty close to 80 years. Think of that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So God understands what we need to do. And this is why Christians are not to get lifted up and become self-righteous. This is why we are not to be hoity-toity and look down upon people because they have difficulties and problems, because we have our own. Now notice what a tremendous thing that this is. Chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. There is that subjunctive again, may not sin. See? And yet, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now that's in God's time and plan. Now is not the time for saving the whole world. Christ is going to do that when he returns. And if we're faithful and righteous and are in the first resurrection, we will become kings and priests with Christ as spirit beings, and we are going to rule the world. Now let's see how God views a repentant sinner and why this is so important. Because, see, when you repent of your ways and you repent of your sins, then God's Spirit is able to work with you. In that, then, becomes the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God within you. And that becomes conversion. Now let's come to Luke 15 and let's see how the conflict was between Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees, the religious people of this world in his day. Luke 15 and verse 1, now all the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear him. Yes, they were willing to listen. They were willing to repent. But here are the super righteous, the establishment religion elite. And the Pharisees and scribes criticized him, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Oh, what a terrible thing to do, to help sinners, to forgive those. So Jesus gave a parable. Verse 3, Which of you has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost, searching until he finds it? Wouldn't you do that? That's why the seven spirits of God, seeking those who are lost, seeking those who are seeking God. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And after coming to his house, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Have we all lost our way? We all like sheep gone astray? Yes. And God laid all of that upon Jesus Christ. And we will see, when we come to Jesus to ask forgiveness, he understands. So continuing now with this parable, "I tell you that likewise there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 righteous ones who have no need of repentance." God delights in repentance. He acknowledges repentance. Now, there's the sorrow of the world where people are sorry because they've been caught. But they're not repenting with the kind of repentance that leads to change, that leads to an amending of your ways, as John the Baptist said to the scribes and Pharisees, "Amend your ways and your doings." Now, what does that mean? That means stop sinning, stop going your way, and go God's way. See? That's how God responds to you, and that's how you respond to God. So then he continues here with the parable, verse 8. "Or what woman who has 10 coins, if she should lose one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search diligently until she finds it? And after finding it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost.' I tell you," Jesus says, "in like manner, there is joy in heaven before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now then, he gives another parable along with this, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even there are those who have backslidden. They want to know, does God still care for me? Does God love me? Will God forgive me? Then it gives a parable of the prodigal son. And the parable goes this way. One day, one of the sons came to his father and said, "Now, I'd like my inheritance. You divide it to me." And so he went off into a far country. Then he wasted everything that he had living in debauchery. Now, verse 14 of Luke 15. "But after he had spent everything, there arose a severe famine throughout that country, and he began to be in need. Then he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." Now, can there be anything worse to someone who is a Jew? To go feed swine. Out there in all the filth and the smell and the wretchedness and the, you know, the wallowing holes and mud and muck. And so here's what happened to him, verse 16. "And he was longing to fill his stomach with the husks that the swine were eating, but no one gave him anything to eat." What a terrible predicament. Now here is what must happen to every single one of us when we're coming to God. You have to recognize the situation you are in. You've got to see the sins that you have been committing. You've got to understand the Word of God and what Christ says in calling you to repentance. And God granting you that repentance, so that you can be forgiven. Now notice, here is the key verse, right here, verse 17. "And when he came to himself." Have you come to yourself? Have you come to see how you have been living, the way your life has been? That's the key. Everyone who repents must come to himself so that he can come to God. And coming to yourself means this: you come to understand your sins. Now, it may be adultery. It may be sex perversion. It may be pornography. It may be gambling. It may be alcoholism. It may be false religion. It may be lying, cheating, stealing. It may be any of the sins of the flesh. But please understand this: all sin is against God. Now, you may hurt other people along the way, and there you have to repent to them too. But all sin is against God, and you need the forgiveness of God first, and then the forgiveness of other people, those whom you have hurt. And God will give us the strength to go to them to do that. So here's how he came to himself. He began to think clearly, not emotionally. He began to think the right way, understanding the reality of his circumstances. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have an abundance of bread, and I'm dying of hunger? Terrible circumstances. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants.'" Not uplifted, not going and saying, "God, I know I've sinned, but I deserve to be forgiven." No. Humility. Broken heart. Where it says in the Old Testament, "Rend your heart, not your garments." God doesn't want repentance that is sorrow of this world. He wants repentance unto salvation. And this is it right here. So then he went back to his father, just like you, coming back to God, repenting of your sins, confessing your sins. Now, let's understand something here, Hebrews, the 4th chapter. You can come to God at any time, and God is right there, Christ at the right hand, willing to forgive your sins. But you have to yield to God. You have to be willing to forsake your way and accept God's way. You have to be willing to forsake your thoughts and accept God's thoughts through his words. Now, let's come here to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is living and powerful." That's why it's the most up-to-date book in the world. God breathed, by God, the eternal God. The principles of God right here. "Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of both soul and spirit and of both the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." That's how you come to yourself before God. You admit to God, "My thoughts are evil, my thoughts are wrong, my thoughts are sinful. I have been going against you." Confess your sins before God. Now notice, here's why. If you go to a priest, you can fool him. You're not going to confess all your sins to him. But if you go to God, he's faithful to forgive you. "And there is not a created thing that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Now, God is going to be merciful and forgiving. And here's why. "Having therefore a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, we should hold fast the confession of our faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but one who is tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptations, yet he was without sin. Therefore, we should come with boldness to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's the kind of repentance that God responds to and God leads you into so that you can become converted, so that you can learn to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being, so that you then can be prepared for eternal life. Because you see, this is the beginning of the work of Jesus Christ, not the finished work. And we'll talk about that later. So be sure and download all the things we have discussed in these segments. And you can also ask for our book on baptism, which covers repentance and baptism. And we'll talk about that next time because baptism becomes very important. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.